Hello, and welcome to another episode of Story Selling. My name is Elliot Rayner, and as always, we're going to speak to a product marketing expert about how they utilize the skill of storytelling within the field of product marketing. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Elena Madrigal. She is the Director of Product Marketing for GoDaddy, the web hosting company with over 21 million customers. One of the reasons I wanted to speak to Elena is understanding about how GoDaddy uses storytelling in order to inspire their own audience and own customers to become storytellers. So good morning, Elena. Thank you for joining me and waking up especially early on this Friday to have a chat about storytelling with me. How are you doing?
Good morning, Elliot. Thank you for having me. Doing great. It's a Friday, so what's not to like?
So I assume you're going to work after this, and it's a good place to start. And maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the role you have at the minute, and most importantly, what are you trying to achieve in your current role?
Yes, absolutely. So currently I'm working at GoDaddy, and I'm the director of product marketing for the mobile ventures business unit. That means all the apps that GoDaddy has at the moment. Our mission is to power entrepreneurs with all the tools that they need to get that business out and growing. Specifically, one of the tools that I am leading is the GoDaddy Studio app, which provides creation, but not just content creation or design creation. It's designed for growth. It is with a purpose. It's not just for the sake of doing pretty things. It is for creating content that is going to be really effective, really telling the story. So very, very intertwined also with the storytelling topic that we are talking today.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm sure a lot of people have used GoDaddy products. I've used them both from a business purpose and from my own personal purpose. And maybe that's a good question as well, is how do you see your customers, mainly as B2B or B2C, or kind of a mix or a blurring between the both?
Very blurring, because most of the time, especially my specific product, is talking to individuals, right? So they are one person. They are also almost like a consumer, a human. Yeah. And they are making decisions on their own. They are not consulting with others. It's not like an enterprise where you have to kind of tap into the minds of a lot of different people to get to a decision. So in that sense, it's very close to B2C. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough with the element of pleasure that you mm-hmm. usually share when you're going to the B2C. With this, is a little bit like, it's not just for pleasure. It's going to give me an edge, an advantage over others trying to do the same as I do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've spoke on the other podcast about leading with emotion, which I think is usually a B2C, but ultimately, even when we talk about B2B, we're not talking to robots. It's still people making decisions and who have emotions. Right. But I think you're right. You need more than just that when it's B2B. You need a lot of logic and credibility that comes in with it. I know you've done a lot of great work and collaborations with the Product Marketing Alliance as well. And whenever I see you come up, you always have as one of your skills storytelling. And I think that's great. And I would love to get from your side, why do you believe that storytelling has become such an important skill, especially in product marketing and especially over recent years?
Because that skill is what gets you the right customer mm-hmm. at the door. So product is designing for a specific customer in mind, but usually the product teams are working in multiple different features for the same product. Mm-hmm. Things are sometimes not connected. They are working on fiercely on what they're doing at the moment, what they need to improve within the tool. Yes, they are bringing the customer into it, but I think product marketing is in a very well positioned to say what's going on around it, what's going on in the market, what are the pains, what are the desires of that customer, and understands the product, so makes the connection with, okay, this product is going to be fantastic to solve this specific problem. Mm-hmm. Problem. This is some sort of change that is going in the world that my product is very well positioned to solve for. Yeah. So you put that story. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of science behind. So it feels like an art because we always associate storytelling with movies, books, and art behind it. In business, I think it's it starts with science always. It's a lot of research that goes into it. It's capturing a lot of insights, capturing a lot of information about your customer, your target audience, and then putting everything together into, then it comes the art, right? Yeah.
How do you tell it? A really nice point in what you say about how, why it's popular in within product marketing. I completely agree, because it's, we often get called like the connector or connecting all these different worlds, and stories are a great way to do that. And there's no point in creating a great part of your product if it's not adopted. And usually the best way to get adopted is through storytelling. And you've set me up perfectly for my next question, because I always talk about the science of storytelling, the art of storytelling. And I think there's great arguments for both. And I really agree that the foundations, storytelling can be broken down like a science. So for sure it is a science, but I always like to ask the guests, is there a story from your childhood or through your life that you found yourself always going back to every year?
I think so. I'm a big fan of the rise of the underdog, the unexpected hero, that person that no one expects that is going to solve a problem and all of a sudden rises and becomes a hero. Usually even that person doesn't feel like they are a hero. They turn into it just not by chance, but by the circumstances. And then they rise. Nobody expects that. An example on stories that could be the Hobbit. I mean, I'm a big fan of that story. Who could ever imagine that that tiny guy, who is not specifically very strong, is not the smartest in the room, but turns out to be the hero in that story. So yeah, I love an underdog.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the way that underdog, it's always being defined by the challenges. It's it's through those hard times that we become to support those characters and hopefully see ourselves in those characters. And that's the example of using a great, well-defined protagonist. And actually, as product marketers, usually we try to use the customer and as our protagonist to try and show the value within our product and give them that aha moment. With that in mind, when you approach storytelling in your profession, do you find yourself it's more you just recognizing the benefits of storytelling and just bringing it into your everyday work? Or do you more have a rigid process of, okay, we need a story, I'm going to start here and define a product? Which is it, more relaxed or more strict when it comes to you creating stories?
It's both. There's always science, as I mentioned, behind it. There's no a strict or rigid framework. I personally love frameworks. I need them to bring clarity to chaos. And sometimes there's a specific framework like, okay, this is going to work with this. And sometimes it's different ones. Also, it depends on your audience. Is your, sometimes, especially for big corporations or enterprise, they need to feel the pain very deeply in order to make a change. So you focus on your story around that pain. In B2C, usually you don't do that. You don't want to, but you lighten that a little bit. I would say also, storytelling is very opportunistic. So sometimes you just see an opportunity and then you just jump into it and say, hey, I've been telling this story to this audience. It works. But all of a sudden, a different story for a completely different audience can bring that attention, and then you try it. It's not about positioning or telling or positioning the product in multiple different ways just to try to attract, but it's different audiences. I have a great example of this one. When I was working at Nokia, and Nokia was the perfect example of the underdog, and that's one of the things I really love working there. I joined the team when it was the iPhone leading the team. I mean, Nokia was losing ground and I firmly believe, hey, I can do something to bring this brand back on track. And we had a phone, the Nokia 206, that was launching in developing markets. It was doing well, okay. It was colorful, a little bit expensive for that market, okay. But then nobody was buying those tiny phones like the pocket phones.
My dad was.
Yeah, okay, but then it was super colorful, so maybe your dad was a little bit like, I'm not sure about this. But then we identified a segment or a different audience, and we turned it into the festival phone. Mm-hmm. So that was a great story. Yeah. And I think it was one of my very first stories at Nokia, where we presented a phone, the underdog, this Nokia tiny thing, in Western markets. Specifically, we tested it in the UK, as in, hey, don't put your iPhone, super expensive, at risk. Take this Nokia phone with you. It's very tiny. The battery lasts forever, like a full month. You don't have to worry, where are you in a festival? Where are you going to plug this in? It is resistant. It drops, falls in the mud. It's okay. Nothing's going. You need to go to the porta potties. You can hold it in your teeth and do your thing. So it's not like this big thing. Oh my God, this is going to drop in this mess. The placement of that story was also very interesting. It was really cheap for that market as well. We were talking about, I think, £20 or something around that. We were selling those like hotcakes in the trains that were going to the festivals.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've lost an iPhone to a festival, so I feel that pain, and I wish I had done that. But I really love the example you bring up, because, you know, I really see the iPhone as, you know, that was kind of one of the biggest introductions of the value of storytelling when Steve Jobs was there and explaining what this was. And for the first time, selling a technical product, not on its technical superiority, but really telling the story of how it can change your life and the how many songs in your pocket, for example. Right. And at that time, it's very interesting because Nokia really didn't seem to put a foot wrong when it came to anything else. Everyone loved their Nokia. Like you say, they were tough. The battery life was long. The connection was great. But it must have been interesting during that time in Nokia of seeing, oh, we can't just sell great products or create great products. This is other thing that we need. And maybe that's where product marketing really comes in to say, no, we also have to connect this great product with a story to make sure it lands. And the festival example is a really great product marketing case study, I think, of showing actually that phone could have died without that story, because it wouldn't have found its value and the customer who that story would resonate with.
Yeah. And it's not just something that comes from product marketing. So the other beauty of product marketing is that cross-functional aspect that it has. So it's very rare that a product marketeer comes with the winning idea just like out of a magic hat. Yes. It's usually tapping into all these cross-functionals. So this festival phone was a story in partnership with the PR team.
Uh-huh.
Into, okay, this is what I'm seeing. How do we phrase this? Because product marketers is rare that we are copywriters. I am not a copywriter. So I put out an idea. Mm-hmm. And usually a creative person from a wordsmither person will turn that into, okay, this is actually a festival phone. I don't think that came from me. It is like, how can we sell this? I see this opportunity here. These are the pains that these guys are going through. How can we sell this to these specific people? Oh, those are festival goers. This is a festival phone.
Yeah, and you really point out that so many people think of product marketing, really one of the skills to have is influencing, because it's being able to use those groups around you, whether it's brand or PR or the product team, to see that same light and work together in that same direction. But it's really interesting because, just like me, your sounds like your world was quite B2C, and then you came into this world of B2B. So maybe that's a good time to ask a question that every time I do a conference or a workshop, I get asked, yeah, but what about B2B storytelling? What about B2B? Can we have more examples? Do you feel like you made a very big adaptation into B2B, or is it more just applying what you were already doing in a new and more focused way?
It has required adaptation, that's for sure. I think when I moved to B2B, I had a big advantage from coming from the B2C world. And that is one of the things that got me into Nokia. Before Nokia, I was working in the fashion industry, so nothing to do. And that is pure emotion, right? It's very aspirational. So that is what I brought to Nokia, that lens. Yeah. And that is something that I've been bringing along with me. What is that emotion? What is the type of emotion that we want to drive into our audience? you need to change your frameworks a little bit, especially how averse to change your audience is. Are they adopting a new product? And it's it that, how are they? Usually they have a problem and they are solving it with something else. So there's some moment of change there.
Yeah.
Usually what I like to look into that is, as I said, lots of analysis into, okay, what is insights? What is the pain? And I never think about what are they trying to achieve? That puts us in a very positive mood. I prefer to go into the gloom and doom of like, okay, what is the real pain? Mm-hmm. What is causing that pain?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the impact of that pain? Mm-hmm. Once you understand that, you can articulate, okay, how am I helping this person get out of this? And that is a framework, very good one for enterprise specifically.
Yeah, it connects to how we started about the underdog and the challenges. So if you can understand, well, what is their challenge? What is their mountain that they have to overcome? And then you can better understand them and be that empathy and that connection. What I find really interesting about your role, and I believe your previous role was at Canva, is that right?
Yeah, so that's right.
Both of those roles, whether it be Canva or GoDaddy, you're actually encouraging your customers to create their own stories as well, because
yeah.
Canva is a creative tool where you're creating things, but obviously every website is a story in a sense and is applying them some rules. So yeah, it's interesting to see how you can basically not just tell your own stories, but influence your customers to do the same.
Correct. And that is one of the things that I most love of my work related to creative. I have explored away from the creative industry, and I always tend to come back because it's where I feel at my best, really. Uh-huh. Helping people tell their own stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You've led me in to my final question, which I ask. We talked a lot about emotion so far, which it makes a lot of sense. In my course, I try to talk about storytelling within Aristotle's framework of persuasion. So Aristotle said that there's three ways to persuade. It's with emotion, with logic, and credibility. And I believe every great story has to have all three. In your experience, which of those three do you find you lean on most when it comes to product marketing or telling stories for GoDaddy? Would it be emotion, logic, or credibility, or some kind of fractional separation between the three?
That's such a great question. I think of those three as three different levers. So actually, they need to be on sync. I like to start with the logic. That's the first step. If there's no logic on what you're trying to tell, people will immediately disconnect. That's the basis. Then I like to include emotion, but if you may add too much emotion, uh-huh. you lose credibility because it's like, nah, I don't believe that is possible. So it's that, and I recently went through a concept testing research, and actually my favorite concept failed. Because uh-huh. it was too emotional and people just didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. So the concept that won was like, okay, that adjusted. So it was exciting enough because the logic was like, huh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
And then the promise was emotional enough to, okay, tell me more. That piques that curiosity, like, oh, okay, how are you going to do this? How does it work?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the previous one was too emotional, like, yeah, sure. It's like all fluff, but no real stuff. So leveling all those three, I think that's the key to success.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear about the mix, and all of the answers I've received are quite different. What I really like about it is I think I hear that a lot about the emotional difficulty, especially within tech, because I think people mm-hmm. expect from the tech companies not to be too emotional. When they are, it feels a bit untrustworthy or strange. Like, why does this very tech? I look for them for credibility and for logic or solving a problem. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you imagine a brand like Dove or in pharmaceuticals or something like that, or a brand like a charitable organization like the Red Cross, they can go into very deep emotional territory, which is very tempting as a marketer because it works so well. But
yeah.
It's all about understanding where your brand is. And I think some of the great brands can move out of their territory, and maybe Apple does a little bit, but it shows that product marketer, you do have to understand not just your audience, but you have to have a really good understanding of yourself and what stories maybe you're not allowed to tell, but understand what sounds authentic coming from your own voice.
That's so on point. Mm-hmm. For example, when I was working at Canva, everything magical, unicorns, was a win.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell your customer, hey, you can do this just like this. It's like magic. It's like, and they will just run into it. Apply that same thing to GoDaddy.
Yeah.
Oh my. Nope, yeah. That's not going to work. It's like, yeah, sure, magic. Wow, no, magic. I don't believe in magic. I'm here for my business. I'm a rational person. Prove me that that is going to work. So that's really a very good point on the brand and the audience.
Yeah, because if you look at what Canva and GoDaddy, you know, when you really break it down, it's not probably very similar customers as well in some ways. You know, I bet a lot of people are using both, but mm-hmm. using them for different reasons. And also, I think maybe GoDaddy comes from an older generation of tech where it was more problem solving. And now brands like Canva and Miro, these kind of younger brands who have been able to build their brands at a time where they could see, well, we have to be different. So how can we be different? And a very emotional brand. But it's interesting to see, from your career, from fashion, which we said is very emotional, to Nokia, which is very logical, but needs a story, Canva, and then GoDaddy. So really interesting to hear how you've changed as a storyteller as well. And yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for joining us. Really fascinating to hear how you approach storytelling. And would encourage all of our listeners to follow Elena on Product Marketing Alliance and see what she's up to next. But thank you very much, Elena. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, Elliot. I did enjoy the conversation as well. Nice start for my Friday.
Enjoy your weekend.
You do. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And if you're interested in continuing your storytelling journey, you can do so right here with the Product Marketing Alliance. Storytelling Certified is a 100% self-paced online course spread over 5 modules, 47 chapters, and over 3 hours of video content. Featuring 9 storytelling templates and frameworks, including the Story Engine Canvas, so that you can immediately start ideating and experimenting with great product stories. Find out more at productmarketingalliance.com.